Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Running a business is hard enough, so why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins, just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part, Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This Sunday, which seeing this video, it's going to be either tomorrow or tonight. It's going to be 9:30 Sunday, which is the 20th. So March 20th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, Derek and I are going to be jumping on a live together, just answering some questions for everybody that has been supporting us and got us to this point. And so with that being said, like, subscribe, drop a comment to us if you guys are enjoying this. And if you're listening on audio, please give us a 5-star review and leave a comment. All these things really help us. It's just part of the process and part of helping us hit the algorithms. When you watch these videos, drop a comment right away, whether you like it or not. It all helps because we're trying to push ourselves forward. Big Brother Canada, man. I mean, it's definitely living up to the hype.
So I didn't oversell it to you.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
it's
not.
It's good, right?
So what I think a lot of people's issue is with Big Brother US, Big Brother Canada hasn't really gone there yet because Big Brother Canada is in their 10th season. So the same stuff that was going on in the first 10 seasons of Big Brother US is happening here. People are not afraid to call people out. People are not afraid to be like, all right, listen, you're going on the block. Where like for us, it's like we know when we talk to production, it's like you can't tell them who's going up. Like these Big Brother Canada players are saying, you're going up. I hate to break it to you. And then there's an argument and then it's like a blow up and it's like, oh, you lied. And you know, my favorite line, this is the Big Brother Canada line of all time. I hear it every episode. Oh, I would have never come after you, so thank you. And I'm like, you don't know. It's my favorite line of Big Brother Canada. So to summarize, I would have never come after you, but now I am. That's what I think of these last 2 weeks.
No, dude, it's been crazy. And that's why I'm glad we caught up on everything. And mm-hmm. the only disappointment I have about BB Can this year is I was selling to you so hard the opening of the show, like the intro. Everyone out there who's watched BB Can before will know what I'm talking about. But on previous seasons, it used to have like the house guests. So they'd have like a whole intro with that music. And it would like have the house guests like turn around and like they were mm-hmm. like they were like part of the opening segment.
Yeah.
Where so far, and maybe it's because I'm watching the episodes.
I think that might be it. Because so we watch the premiere.
So we're missing that, right?
Yes. It's okay. Not in the recording that we watch the day after. Because like just a news spoiler for everybody. Derek and I can't watch it live. It's not with our schedule. It's very difficult. And then once we don't watch it live, it's not like we can watch it that night because we can't record it. So we always have to wait a day later. So that's why these videos also, not to make excuses, but that's why these videos don't come out like immediately after an eviction episode, like how we're used to when we're watching Big Brother US episodes.
All right. So we're missing, but there's an intro at the beginning with all the players. The music and stuff. It's sick. What do you think of the song? You gotta see the song in its entirety.
I'll tell you what. So that might be the thing, is because I hear it and I mean I'm a big Brother US song, like the intro and all that.
I mean it's legendary.
Love the music.
It's legendary.
So that's why like I don't know if I like it more than US, but
we're a little biased, right?
Biased, obviously, but what are you gonna do, you know?
Good memories with it. Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to go back. Before we can go forward, we got to go back. I know all of you probably came here to hear us talk about or watch us talk about Kyle's HOH, which
I'll put timestamps in. So if you don't want to hear about week two, the timestamp will be there so you know where to fast forward.
All right, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll throw the timestamp in there. But, you know, I don't think we should skip over it. You don't think we should skip over Marty's because, no. Again, some of the things that happened in that week are, you know, carried over to the next week. And, you know, Marty got some advantages from BB Can that we can get into. And I think his HOH contributed to that. So mm-hmm. Without further ado, we'll dive into it.
100%.
You guys know Marty wins HOH. I thought overall, just to kind of put a blanket statement on it, I thought Marty had a pretty decent HOH,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering the fact that he wasn't in this majority alliance, which we can say right now, the Savage Seven. You know the names of the guys? You want me to say it?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go into it, though.
So we have Herman, Moose, Gino, Kyle, Josh, Summer, and Tanisha. And mm-hmm. Marty kind of felt like he was in an alliance with, I believe, Kyle. Gino, Kyle. Yeah, yeah. Was Herman in that?
No, but he didn't have a great relationship. Kevin is somebody that he was having a good relationship with. You got to remember, Marty, going into this HOH, it could have been a wild card week because not a lot of people knew where he stood because he's the oldest guy in the house. He obviously has that. His English is good, but I don't feel like he was somebody. Now, we're not watching a ton of the feeds. He wasn't somebody that was in the in crowd.
No.
So I feel like he won the HOH and everybody was like, I don't know how this week can go. It could go a number of different ways.
Great.
So people were scrambling.
Great thing for him to win it, though. I think someone like him who's not on the in, you got to win it. It kind of reminded me of when I played, and you'll be like, no, that's not the case. But I remember specifically, like, all y'all good-looking young people hanging out. I remember us doing the photo shoot.
I know. Those good-looking young guys on the show were so annoying.
I mean, literally. And I remember doing the photo shoot, which wasn't on the feeds, and being like, I'm definitely at the bottom here. Like, this is like a high school again, you know? And I remember winning that HOH, and it kind of changed things for me. I had already established a relationship with mm-hmm. you, but for the rest of the house, it was kind of like Caleb and Devin up to that point were kind of running things.
Yeah, and week two was a big blow up for us. And it was like, who knew how it was going to settle in? And you winning the HOH, I think, was
we got rid of Devin,
but solidified you with a ton of other people.
Like, oh, he can win a comp.
But look what he did for us. He protected all of us. He got out the big bad Devin who was making chaos happen the first 2 weeks. So
yeah, I agree. And I feel like that's kind of with Marty. I feel like Marty winning, it gives him credibility in the sense like he can win competitions. I'm someone you should keep around. And also, like, he was very straight up with people. Like, you know, I think he did it the right way. He's someone who is going to play the game. But I feel like a lot of what we're seeing with Marty is how he kind of operates every day. He's kind of reverting back to just who he naturally is, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
Running a business is hard enough, so why make it harder with a dozen different apps that don't talk to each other? One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. Before you know it, you are drowning in software instead of growing your business. This is where Odoo comes in. Odoo is the only business software you'll ever need. It's an all-in-one, fully integrated platform that handles everything. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR, and more. No more app overload. No more juggling logins. Just one seamless system that makes work easier. And the best part? Odoo replaces multiple expensive platforms for a fraction of the cost. It's built to grow with your business, whether you are just starting out or already scaling up. Plus, it's easy to use, customizable, and designed to streamline every process so you can focus on what really matters, running your business. Thousands of businesses have made the switch, so why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
So what did you think? Anything that stood out to you, as you know, before you get into NOMS?
No, I think the reason why, you know, not to jump ahead, but Marty got the power that he got in week three was strictly because he was very straight up. You know, one of the nominees that he puts up, which we'll get into, kind of freaks out, but I don't know that it was justified. It was, this is the game. People go on the block every week. It's not easy in the early stages to find people because everybody's just feeling each other out. I thought he had a very good week. He's a very genuine person in my book. I really like him. And is he going to win the game? I don't know, but he is so genuine that he would be somebody that if he won, I'd be very happy, because in that week, he just was kind and he wasn't, like, even when he was telling people, like, you're going on the block, it wasn't in a malicious way. And it wasn't in a way where it was like, oh, I don't, that bothered me. Like, which we'll get into in week three. I really liked Marty. I thought it was a good HOH week. And he had a target at the start and he succeeded in getting that target out, which is the most important thing about being the HOH.
It really is. It really is. And speaking of targets, so he had two noms. He ends up nominating Jay and JC Lynn, with Jay being his target. And it was an interesting conversation between those two, where Jay comes up before he knows he's being nominated, and kind of what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Jay is, he's got a read on Marty a little bit. He realizes the way Marty's talking to him, maybe not making complete eye contact. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, so you're putting me up. And yeah. Marty's like,
Jay yeah. felt it.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I am. And then there was a point where, I don't know if it was in that conversation or a later conversation, but Jay was like, you know, are you like saying I'm your target? And he's like, is that what you want me to say? Yeah, I'm.
And that's when the blow up happened. Then Jay turned from like someone that we were all watching that seemed very nice. And
I love everyone.
And then it was like, uh-oh, there's that other side. There's that like aggressive side where don't mess with me because now I'm coming for you.
Was that the conversation where Marty looks at the camera, like the camera in the room? He's like, well, we're playing Big Brother here. Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah.
You're coming after me. I'm coming after you. I was like, ooh, okay.
Well, that was, so not necessarily, it was after the nominations. So okay, the nominations it was after the nominations that Jay came up, just wanted to talk to Marty, get a feel for what Marty was feeling. And Marty was not giving, Jay picked up on it.
Yeah.
Which is great. Very aware. But Jay picked up on, Marty's not saying anything to me. He's not telling me anything. I think I'm the target. And that was the case. And then Marty gave it to him. And that's when Jay just like flipped the switch and was like, no, I'm not going to be nice. I'm going to be sassy. I'm going to be, you know, in your face. And if you don't like it, send me home. Because if you don't, coming for you.
Coming after you. Yeah, he's like, you drew a line in the sand.
Yes.
There wasn't a line there. He said this like whole circle thing. And
yeah.
Then what'd you think about the second nom? I mean, when we're talking, because you and I really focus on strategy. He knows his target is Jay, but he's got to put a second person up, which is what sucks about being HOH, because you really just are like, can I just put this one person up?
I know.
But he ends up choosing JC Lynn. Good decision, bad decision. What are your thoughts on that?
So as the week played out, we were finding out that Marty was really close with Gino.
Right.
And so I thought it was weird because he was really close with Gino. I think, and I may be wrong, he probably saw Gino around JC Lynn a lot. He told Gino, I'm going to be putting her up, which made Gino end up going and telling her. And then she like ran right up to the room to talk to him. And so I thought it was a little bit weird. I thought he could have put up somebody else, like a Betty or like a Helena, that would have, you know, settled everything down. It would have kept him in good graces with Gino, because, you know, he could have put up JC Lynn and that could have rubbed Gino the wrong way. Gino could have been like, wow, that bothers me. I like this person. I want to stay with her and I'm going to go after you now. But Gino didn't take it that way, because I think I like Gino. He's a good guy. So he knows the game and doesn't care too much to be heavily involved in a showman.
And he didn't push for her too hard. If you remember, he was like, oh,
So you're in that situation. You find out that somebody that you're very close with is going to go up. How do you handle that situation?
You and I had to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Me and you had to do it all the time. There were people who were talking about putting me up, and there were people who talked about putting you up. And it's like, you have to like slowly ease out of it. You can't just like put a hard stop on it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put up a little bit of resistance and then slowly have them come with you as you ease out of it and redirect it. It's like a dance.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in there and go, no, absolutely, you can't do that.
Yeah.
There was even a week with you where you wanted to go after Frankie right away. And I remember
it was Caleb,
but there was also a week where you're like, I'll throw up Frankie right now. And I was like, you're talking big move. Maybe it was Caleb. You might be right. And it was like,
it was in the fourth week, 'cause I won it right after you. It might've been it might've been week 8 when I won.
And that was after he didn't take the veto, right?
It was when Caleb didn't take the veto from Victoria.
You're right. You are right.
And I was like, he should go on the block.
And I thought it was a bad move because we were so solidified.
We were going after Brittany at that point anyway.
And it was going to be like, oh, now we're going to have this civil war within the alliance, and that's bad, right? So now we're starting from square one. And I didn't want to tell you, like, no, you can't do that. I wanted you to come to the conclusion after hearing all sides, you know?
And you made great points when you came. And I remember, because I said it to Frankie. Frankie ran downstairs and told you. And you came up dead asleep. And we're like freezing in the HOH. Oh, yes,
you talk about that conversation. I was talking about a different one.
Oh, okay, so it was a different one. So then it might have been a different one.
There was one night.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Where you were like, I'm thinking about putting Frankie up or whatever. And I was like,
it was definitely not in week 4.
It was later. I was like, you're talking big moves right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, is your intent to send him home or just put him up? You're like, I mean, I think I'd have the vote to get him out. I'm like, well, we'd have to make sure.
Ultimately,
you never want to be like, hard stop. No, you can't do that.
Right.
Because that's going to raise a flag. And he did the right move by this early in the game. You don't want to do that.
Nope.
Real quick tell, you probably picked up on it, but for you guys out there who are listening or watching, next time you're watching the episode, when Marty gets in an uncomfortable situation, happens every time, his cheeks get red. He gets flustered and they not only get red, but they get like a lighter color in the middle. And he's clearly anxious. I'm not saying he's angry or upset, but it's a tell when he talks to people normally and it's not like an uncomfortable conversation, his cheeks are fine. As soon as he gets into a conversation that's uncomfortable, he gets flushed really bad, like super bad. You could tell he's like struggling with it. And so if I'm in there, That's something I'm picking up on. If I'm trying to ask him about certain things, the minute his cheeks start going red, I'm like, this dude's hiding something. Yeah. That's what I'd be looking for.
I don't trust you. But he's just a genuine guy. But it's
I really like him.
You can tell if he gets anxious.
Yes. So
the nominations happened, a little bit of blow up. I liked how Gino played it. I didn't love that JC Lynn went up there. I didn't love that when he told her, she started crying. Cause I was that for me, that's like why you almost don't tell people. I had situations like that on All Stars where like I was getting a ton of information and I was always so like nervous to tell people because I was like, I don't want people running all over the place. And she did for me in Gino's, if I was in Gino's shoes, it'd be like, that's the last time I'm telling JC Lynn something. She ran right up to Marty immediately after crying. And then she ran up. I would have been like, yep, I'll just keep stuff from her. When it happens, I'll play dumb because I didn't love that she did that. So we get to the veto. She ends up winning the veto, which was like,
that veto looked hard too, dude. I mean, I thought it looked really fucking hard.
I love these competitions that Big Brother Canada is doing. I love these competitions.
They're simple, but they just...
Yeah, but they add like a little like dynamic to it that makes it not super simple. But I mean, to her credit, it is not easy to go in the pressure cooker and win when you're like, you're thrown off. She was like, she just thought she was on vacation still. She realized quickly, uh-oh, I am playing Big Brother. There is a game going on. I just got put on the block and it was a blindside to me. And so, you know, going into that veto, it could have been tough. And for Jay, it could have been tough as well. But JC Lynn wins it. And now this is what drives me nuts about when the HOHs don't get to compete in the veto. He doesn't even get to keep his noms the same. Other people may not be competing necessarily hard because you're in that dilemma of, am I in a good spot? Do I need to win the veto or should I win the veto just so that I keep myself safe and I guarantee it? So I feel like there's some people that aren't talking about it, that of the five, maybe there's always one that's throwing it, which makes the odds of a nom winning it so high.
Let me ask you a question real quick, because you mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was we recorded, and I was thinking about it, and I agree with everything you're saying. Like from a competitive standpoint, the HOH should be able to, you know, save his noms, keep him the same, or she should be able to. But doesn't it make, it's made some really good TV.
Well, look what we've seen now. 3 weeks in a row.
Because you get that HOH who wins the veto and it's like, oh, well, this is, you know, status quo.
3 weeks in a row, a nominee has won the veto and been off the block. All three vetoes have been used.
And a lot of the drama has stemmed from that renom.
Correct.
So my question to you is, not Cody the player,
right,
but Cody the fan.
Loving it.
Based on what we're, so, I mean, would you agree like this is a move? Because you're not planning on playing Big Brother again, right? Spoiler alert.
Most likely not. It would take
a lot of money
for a short period. The thing I don't love about Big Brother is I didn't handle that second time around being away and not in contact with family and Christy. It just was like a toll that I don't know I can go through again. I can't put, it was a very different toll than what, when I went through in 23.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a little older, a little wiser, you know, things happen, but overall I'll say it for myself. I love it. And I wouldn't want it if I was playing. But as a fan, a spectator watching, love the fact that the HOH can't just kind of keep the week status quo because
super safe, super easy.
Yeah, it really puts the odds in their favor because you have these two people who are trying to save themselves, but there's three others, right? Five people playing the veto.
Five people play.
One being the HOH that are basically trying to keep it the same because they don't want, you know.
Well, the HOH doesn't need, yeah, it's like everybody. If I was an HOH, I'd be sitting there like panicking the whole time. And you see that. They always show the HOH and they're like, oh God, here we go. The person in the lead's a nominee.
Yep.
I remember in week one of All Stars sitting there and watching Kevin with the most pieces and seeing his time tick down and being like, please don't look at your time. Please don't look at your time. Please, please, please just let him back out. Because I was like, if I have to replace, my whole first week is blown up. And it's not even because Kevin was my target. It was Keisha. But I was like dying at the thought of having to put up a third person.
Oh, dude, it's the worst thing ever.
The worst.
That's the curse of the HOH is trying to get as little blood on your hands as possible. But it always seems like when they need it the most, they win it, especially in BB Canada.
Yeah.
So JC Lynn wins. Obviously, Marty has to renom someone. He ends up nominating Betty. I would have went with Betty first, personally. Easy.
Betty?
She didn't really seem like she had any ties in the house.
Betty's the pawn of the season. Tell me she's not the pawn of the season.
She is the pawn of the season for sure. I want to get into Jess too, though, because, you know, I have some notes here. Oh, man, and listen, I'm human, so don't judge me too hard for this. It's nothing personal. You all have your favorites that you love, and then you all have the people that you just could really do without. Jess is that for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's annoying for me, man. Yeah. I mean, every, you know, the first week, she tries to make it a lot about herself. She's having these awkward, every conversation she has at the show.
The week two conversations were brutal. Her conversation with Marty to stay off the block was hard to watch.
Dude, I was like, brutal. And we're skipping around a little bit, but
she's trying to be a gamer. That's the thing. Like, that's where, like, I have that threshold. So I'm like, this is tough, but I know she's just trying to game. But the way she's doing it is very, as gamers, we're like, when I watch the show, I don't watch it as a viewer anymore. I'm like running my mind. I'm like, if I'm sitting through this convo, I would be targeting her immediately.
Yeah. She's super, I don't know how to, like, aggressive with her conversations.
Yeah, and everything there's even is very a moment aggressive.
In the next part where I'm saying that she's kind of annoying. So I guess I should say why. I mean, the next episode when they have this huge blow up, right? And Kyle's HOH, it's not even about her. And Stephanie and I believe JC are talking about Josh being nominated. I'm spoiling things here for the next part. But what does Jess say? She's like, makes it about herself. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, I don't remember the part.
We'll get to it, but there's a point in week three where, Josh goes up. I'm definitely going out of line here. But Josh goes up, and Stephanie and JC are in the back room, like, crying about it. Like, they love Josh. And Jess is in there, and she's like, I just need to be alone right now. I just went, because she felt
after Josh got nominated. I remember what you're talking about.
Yes.
She's in the back room
crying
by herself.
Why are you making it about you right now?
I need to be alone.
And she's
Josh is on the block.
Yes, I
know what you mean.
I was like, all right, come on, Jess. You're killing me here. So anyways, we'll get to her. So now you have Betty on the block.
She freaks out. One of my favorite quotes from Betty this when she gets nominated is Kevin and Marty were upstairs having a beer. So he must have known. They must have thought of this together. I'm going to confront Kevin. I was like, because he was in the HOH room? Like, was there nobody else ever in the HOH room?
No, she flipped out, dude. And it was like instant. Like, as soon as she got nommed, she went upstairs and she's talking to herself. I know there are future house guests watching right now.
There's 1,000,000% is
you
somebody that's watching.
You cannot do that. No. As much as you want to, you can't do it, because it just makes people really question your ability to handle stress down the stretch. And she blows up, and then she blows up further, as you mentioned, where she's in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin comes in to try to talk to her. And he makes it seem like he's going to use the bathroom, but he's really just trying to go talk to her. And she legit won't even give him the time of day.
Yeah.
Guys, you don't want to do that. You want to get as much information as you can. Even if they're lying to you, just get information from him. She tells him, hey, don't even talk to me. I don't want to hear from you. I don't like you. Don't talk to me for the rest of the season. I'm like, that's not the way you win Big Brother, especially now that you're on the block and Kevin is a vote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Am I judging too harshly?
Too emotional, very, very over the top, and does not handle pressure well. And I have a point to make about that from the most recent HOH that she was right in, but she's like frantic. She's going nuts. She doesn't know. You could see it in her face. And then we get to the writing thing, and it's like, how long did the competition go? And it was like, she wrote 1,000. And I remember seeing 1,000. I was like, that is wildly low. But I think it was because I don't know that she thought the competition was that short. I just don't think she handled the pressure of the situation, like the pressure cooker for people. I have to be like, well, and I just think that she'll cave. She'll be somebody for me that I'm like, easy nom. There's going to be a bunch of people that nom her. She's not going to win. I genuinely don't think she's going to be someone that wins competitions, because I think she's going to rattle her brain all over the place and get way too over the top, which we saw in the veto. Because all Kyle had to do in week three was tell Betty, if you don't win this veto and one of the noms do, you'll be a replacement. She was rattled. She couldn't even do the puzzle. So that's how she's going to be throughout this season. I mean, good person. Great Big Brother player. No offense to Betty, but I don't see her that way.
Some people have it, right? Some people like the intangibles. It's just like sports, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing personal for us. It's like, you know, you guys are coming here to hear our opinions. We're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
There are certain people who have that it factor.
And it's not personal,
don't.
By the way.
It's not. We don't know these people. What do we care? We're here. We're commenting on the show. That's it. But it's something where some people have it and some don't. And those things are a specific set of, you know, characteristics that allow you to be good at a game like this. And people who are like super over the top, anxious, you know, can't keep composure, they usually don't do well long term because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Correct.
They can maybe survive a couple weeks.
People that don't know how to handle power don't do well.
No. And that's coming up in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then finally, even Betty, to just put a pin in her as far as her gameplay so far, even this most recent HOH, we won't say who won. We'll say it in a couple minutes. She's like doing the questions. Did you see how crazy she was going, stepping forward?
That's exactly what I was talking about. And
I thought you were talking about the veto.
No. I was talking about the HOH comp, the most recent HOH comp, where she's like, oh, I don't know.
Losing it.
And that's why I said when they had, it was four of them that had to write the time. I was like,
the thousand. Yeah.
I was like, 1,000. I was like, that's barely any time, Betty.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like 15 minutes. Like,
yeah.
Wait, what? I was like, that competition, the surfing one, that's the one where like Stephanie was up and Marty was up and they were like battling back and forth. Like, we've been up here for a while. Who wants to step up or down? It's like that was going on. I would have immediately been like 45 minutes to an hour. But like as a viewer, I mean, I don't know what it's like, but like you and I were pretty close when we had that comp. So I can say like pretty confidently, like we were so close, but one, we were so close to each other's numbers and we were so close to the right answer.
Yes.
It wasn't like we were like wild.
Still under protest. I think I was right.
So what's up?
I'm still under protest, okay? I'm still sore about it, right? So, I don't want
to
talk about
it. What I'm saying is like, that's how, to me, that's how she handles pressure.
Yeah.
And it's not
good. Not good. It's not it. Best way to say it.
The week plays out. Jay ultimately ends up going home. Marty, and to Marty's credit, he wanted Jay out. And for good reason. Jay was a very big personality and very well liked. I was blown away that the votes actually were there to send Jay home. I just think it was because Betty was sitting next to Jay and was like, are we going to send Betty home?
Yeah.
That's what I think it was.
He was a big personality, but not 100% solidified in a big alliance. Like we mentioned the Savage Seven. He wasn't in that. There's another alliance that we'll get into called the Retreat that he wasn't in. So he just didn't make those connections fast enough. And I agree with you. I think it was like, do we send Betty home? Do we send Jay home, who can actually win the game? And they went with a smart choice. 9-2. He goes home, and this is where we get into a little bit of strategy.
Got thrown around.
Yes.
By your boy.
Yes. And you were saying a little earlier, you love Herman. I love Herman. When we talk about having
before we get into week three, who are your top three people that you like the most in order?
Herman's number one.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rough week three, not really any reason of his own, but my next person, Herman didn't have that terrible of a week.
Okay.
I was going to say my next person who had a rough week, but has some really good skill set, you know, to deploy, Moose.
He talks too much, in my opinion. He's done. I think that week he blew him up.
They definitely blew him up. I don't know. Moose is playing pretty well.
I think if he would have stayed on the block, they would have actually sent him home.
You might be right. You might be right. And then finally, it's kind of a toss up, but I feel like they're not on anybody. Both of them, they're not on anybody's radar. And that's Summer and Tanisha. So
my top three, and I should say Josh, cause he's my pick to win, but just watching the show entertainment wise, Herman clear cut one. No, I shouldn't say clear cut one. Cause Summer is like right behind him. I love Summer. She's playing a good game.
I did not see it. But she's good.
One, she's wildly intuitive. She's very intelligent. And she is DR gold. I love her in the DR. Same way I love Herman in the DR. And DR's very intuitive, very intelligent. Those two are my favorite. With Tanisha being third. I like Moose, but he just talks too much. And
what do you think about Marty and Kevin?
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Kevin pulled something in week three that I want to talk about that I thought was just brilliant. Showed how good he is at the game. But I think people have caught on to Kevin a little bit. So I think he's going to get hurt. Marty's just a nice guy, man. Like, how do you not like Marty? It was the same way. Like, how do you not like Donnie? Marty's fan favorite, period.
Yeah, Marty, and we're going to get into that, winning something. But, you know, Marty could be in trouble. Marty's going to have to win some comps if he's going to win this game.
Well, because everybody knows how likable he is.
They're going to view him as a threat. Final question for week two, then we can put a bow on it. We went a little bit long on it because we were like, didn't think there was a lot in there. But I do think there's a lot. I think that as we're breaking it down, there is a lot. Final question, because we didn't hear about it until the week three started, but it actually happened right after the eviction of Jay. Kyle comes out while they're all still downstairs and says, by the way, guys, I was one of the votes. What did you think about him saying in that? Good move or bad move? Not considering what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, I think once the following week happened, I think it absolutely like just goes as a knock against him. I don't know why he was like, you know, I felt bad. I wanted to seem like the nice guy. He went for the nice guy role and then like was not a nice guy at all. So, I mean, do I love or hate the move? No, I'm just indifferent. I guess.
And I do think it's like him, another example, which there's a lot of them now, him being too smart for his own good. Now, on the other side of it, Herman throws a rogue vote.
It was great. I thought it was brilliant why he did it and how he played it up afterwards. He had it specific. Like, why do you throw a rogue vote to just do it? It's like, what's the point? Okay, right. I want to create chaos. But like, Herman did it to create the chaos and target it in a direction of somebody
he said,
wanted
out. He said the target was coming off Jess a little bit. I need to put it back on.
I thought it was, he's so good.
Even Jess knew it. She was like, damn.
He's so good.
Someone got me.
Someone who is trying to hang me out to dry, because Jess is a gamer.
And Jess, they all thought it was, I think they all think it's Jess. I think it worked. Like, all of them, even when she was having a conversation with JC, JC's like, oh, it wasn't you? Like, even Betty was like, yeah, no worries at all. It's fine. I know it wasn't you. I think they all deep down are like, it was her.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. But I think the way that she reacted was, the way that Jess reacted made it, I don't know, it seemed so genuine. How Jess was walking around just like, you know, really like compassionately trying to plead, saying that I definitely didn't do this. I wish I could have done it, but I didn't. I think that everybody believed Jess.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some people she probably spun, because it did come off like it was almost too much for it. Not like, if it wasn't you, you wouldn't want to sell it that much. So yeah. I agree. I think it did its job though. I think it did its job 100%. Just to create doubt. And it also put Jess on tilt, which by her going around and making her rounds like that, it just makes her someone who's, you know, more light on them than she wants on her. So, interesting week. Marty, successful HOH. Thumbs up, buddy. You did a good job. Mm-hmm. Little blood on your hands, and the blood you did get is with people like Betty. Betty's not really going to be able to make a difference in your game, Marty. So going out of it, leaving that HOH, you got your target out. Nobody's really mad at you except Betty. And on to the next one. Yeah. So we're into the HOH competition. It's the, I thought another cool competition,
so
very
cool.
Simple.
So cool.
But the slide, you would describe it like the slalom, I guess, or whatever. To speed right up to it, Josh almost wins it. Ugh. Gets really close. He ends up with a 23.
I wonder what he would have done.
Ooh. I have no clue what Josh, that guy's hard to read, man.
Yeah. But he's not getting a lot of FaceTime either. Like, Herman's getting a lot of FaceTime. Summer, you know where Summer stands. Josh, he got a lot of FaceTime because he went on the block ultimately this week. But other than that, it's like, I don't know where he stands.
I feel like he's kind of, again, someone in the middle. You know, someone who's still trying to find his footing. He was really tight with Jay, as we saw in the episode. Yes. And that was kind of his person. And then when he went home, I feel like he's kind of a free agent right now.
Mm-hmm. But he's inside of the Savage 7 that is no more.
Savage 7 is no more. So, you know, and I think that's important, right? So Kyle ends up getting a 24.
Yep.
He wins HOH. And yeah. I originally thought this was going to be good.
I thought it was
Kyle, Kyle seemed like he's a good player. And you know, Kyle immediately, you could tell as soon as he won, he goes into like that little room and his demeanor changes a little bit. He instantly.
All of a sudden it starts,
the ego grew.
The venom went from his toes and you saw it just going up his body and going right to his head.
Dude, he is the epitome of a power trip. So he starts doing his rounds. He starts doing his conversations.
I mean, what did you think of those rounds? I was losing it. Every person, he changed with the wind. Everybody that said something to him that like stroked him a little bit, he was like, trust you, 100%, boom.
What? And he's got this like weird like smile laugh that he does, like even when he's uncomfortable. He did it a few times on this episode. He had to. He got punked a couple times. There's a point where he's up doing his conversations and he's talking to Moose. And we find out in this episode that him and Moose know each other from university before the show. They weren't like super close, but they knew of each other, mm-hmm. which in the Big Brother house is like gold. Mm-hmm. It's gold. Doesn't always, you know, work out, but it does give you something to go off. And so Moose feels very comfortable with him. He's being honest. He's telling him what he would and wouldn't do.
Right.
And one of the people that he mentions he would possibly put up if he was Kyle is Steph. Mm-hmm. And he's telling him this because Moose genuinely wants to go deep in the game with Kyle.
Can I say something first, though?
You can say whatever you
want. I don't believe he does. I think Moose has word vomit. And he cannot help himself but to just talk.
So you think it's just a personality thing? Yes. He'd be doing that with any HOH.
He did it with Herman in week one. And Herman, he's lucky that Herman liked him. Or he had word vomit with Herman. Just blah, 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 blah. Then they showed a bunch of the clips of all the different things he was saying. And that's what made me be like, this dude, every time he talks, is just he just says what he wants to the camera. He tells the camera what he thinks they want to hear. He tells the person what he thinks they want to hear. He tells the producers, the HOH, the nominees. I think that's who he is.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. So the university, so the fact that they cut the show together like that to throw in the university thing, you think that's just the way they edited the show? It wasn't really his reason behind it. That's just his personality.
Genuinely think that. And I think Kyle used it to his advantage in a situation to try to turn the knife to be like, this is why we should target somebody in our alliance that just formed a week ago.
Well, this is an HOH nightmare, though, because Moose leaves the room. Steph comes in and Kyle... which I don't know why he did this. He starts telling Stephanie, listen, talk to a lot of people. And I'm going to be honest with you, Steph. Probably going up. And Jess, she's like, wait, what?
Jess said Steph. Marty said Steph. Moose said Steph. A ton of people said Steph.
And he dogs Moose. By the way, she's in Savage 7. Their alliance.
No, she's not.
She's part of... She's part of the retreat.
Other one. Yeah.
She's part of the retreat, which we can mention right now. The retreat is... Yeah. Kyle,
yeah.
Herman, Gino, JC Lynn, and Steph. So she's up in his room thinking, there's no way I'm going on the block this week. We're into the retreat together. And I almost felt like initially she was like, oh, I think he's joking with me.
She literally said that, right? I think. She goes, you're joking, right? And then his face was like.
He's like, nah, I think you're going up.
No, you're going up.
And I wasn't. Listen, if you want to nominate her, it's a bad nom. That's my nomination.
What do you rate his HOH?
I mean, zero. It's as bad as it can be. It's as bad as it can be. Unless he goes home on his own HOH, as bad as it can be. Yeah. I'll give him a one, because if there was a twist where he could go home on his HOH and he would have, that's a zero. But he compiles a bad decision to put up Stephanie by then telling her one of the names of the individuals who told him to put her up, which she goes and does exactly what my biggest fear was in the house. Leaves the room immediately, calls him on the carpet, and tells Moose, hey, come upstairs. Now they're all in the room. And she's like, hey, Kyle told me that you said to put me up. And now Moose is like, really, dude? Like, what did you think about that whole conversation?
I mean, one, I thought Moose was incredible.
Dude, he was so good.
Incredible. Incredible. But Kyle, like, I don't even know. Kyle's 23. Everything about Kyle, like, irks me. So he's sitting there, and then in that moment, after you just threw him under the bus, he's now got to play. What do you expect him to do, Kyle? Walk up there and just be like, yeah, I did say it. target me. Like, he obviously is going to try to do it, because what is he going to do? Divulge the entire conversation that you just had with him? He's also still trying to protect himself from the HOH. At that point, he should have been like, Kyle literally said to me, I need names. And then when I was like, I don't know. I just threw out a bunch of names, talking to the HOH, Steph, what do you expect me to do? And then Kyle jumped all over it and was bashing you even more. He should have did that at that point. Because then it's like, he would have put it back on Kyle, which Kyle was trying to put it on him. I would have went nuts. I would have been like, bro, did you really just do that? That would have been enough for me to be like, done. I'm blowing you up to her. I don't care. Go after me this week. I ain't letting you have like your HOH reign at my expense, period. I would have been like, you're done. I was like, I'm going to go doggy to her. And then I'll just bring up like everybody else that I mentioned and be like, yep. As he was trying to pull teeth, it just drove me absolutely insane. And then he goes around of like, man, I'm watching this guy, like an Oscar worthy performance. I can't trust him. Dude, what? Drove me absolutely insane.
And that's a thing. And it's important that you mention that, because Kyle is listening and watching Moose during that conversation navigate it and basically get out of it, where he's like dapping up Stephanie on the way out the door. And he's like, wow. And he actually says out loud, like spontaneous, like Freudian slip. He's like, wow, he really knows how to, you know, smooth talk or whatever. And it's like, he realizes in that moment, like Moose, he's a talker. And if he gets himself, he can get himself out of a situation with his words. Mm-hmm. And that scares Kyle. You can tell it scares Kyle. And it's going to lead into his nominations, because throughout that week before the noms, Kyle's getting exposed now. Like, everyone's like, what is this guy doing? He's just like, why is he thinking about putting up? He's talking all this smack to everybody.
Yeah.
You can, Herman's already starting to question him. And then at that point, Kyle decides to not only nominate Stephanie, which was a bad move, right? Nominate an alliance member, but then to add insult to injury, because now he's threatened by him, he decides to nominate someone from his original Savage Seven alliance, Moose. So first HOH, second week, you have two alliances, two big alliances. You decide to nominate two people from those alliances.
I mean, good and move, his reasoning move. Was because of drama that he individually himself created. Like, they didn't create this drama.
It could have been an easy week.
Absolutely.
It could have been an easy week.
I mean, it could have been such an easy week. You have an alliance of seven, an alliance of five that has some of the seven in there with two additional. So you essentially have eight people in a house of now, because 2 weeks have gone by. So there's 14. So eight people, there's only, I don't know, a few to pick from. You have so many people on your side. You're in a very good position. You could run through this week easily. And that's the route you go and blow up of the eight people that you're working with, two of them, which not only blows it up to those two, blows it up to everybody else in the group. He nominated, if he was able to do it that easily, like, were we just going to trust this guy that he wouldn't do it to us?
Yeah, he's unpredictable. And that's not something you want to be labeled in the Big Brother house. And it's interesting because you have those two on the block, and it's a situation now where Herman. Well, to go back 2 seconds, they show it afterwards. Kyle actually told Betty as well that she was going on the block and then didn't put her up. So he also made bad blood with her by saying, hey, you're going up, and then not telling her why she didn't. She's like, hey, I'm not going to complain, but do you think she's not going to remember that? So that's another person that you didn't even nominate that you told you were going to nominate.
And he told her twice. Yeah. Then I remember I brought it up. He told her again, if you don't win the veto, you're probably going to be the replacement.
Yep. And so it's interesting because Kyle, as bad as he's doing, Herman, who we're high on, and in this game, we think he's going to go really far, has a conversation with Moose on the side, which I thought was Big Brother at its finest. And it's something that you guys should all learn from. He gets Moose in a room and he's trying to read Moose. He's trying to find out where this guy is and where's his head at. And is he someone he can trust? And Herman reads it right. He asks him right out. He was straightforward, but he wasn't too cocky. He's like, listen, Kyle's been telling me that you were saying that me and, you know, should go up. I'm going to give you one shot, dude, to tell me the truth. If it sounds like bullshit, we're done. That's basically what he says. He's like, I'm going to give you one shot, dude.
Yeah.
And the thing I loved about it is he wasn't just trying to elicit information. He was being serious.
Yeah.
If you tell me the truth right now, dude, he's I might be able to move forward with
you. I love him.
And Moose picked up on it.
Yeah.
And Moose was like, you know what? I don't think Moose told him the exact truth.
He talks a little too much, but he's great, bro.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
I'm telling you, and they had a great conversation, and Herman comes out of it going, you know what? He admitted to his mistakes. I believe him. I know what I got. I think I know what I got to do this week. I don't want him to go home yet. And the fact that Herman read it right, because we have the privilege of seeing all angles.
Right.
Herman's only looking at that man in the eyes and talking to him, right. And he read it right. He goes right. Into DR. Yep. He told me enough. I can move forward. So that just goes to show you what caliber player Herman is.
Yeah, because Herman takes everything for what it is and doesn't take he takes the emotions out of it. So he could have been emotional when Kyle said Moose had mentioned your name in the conversation where he mentioned a bunch of people's name. But he went to Moose and Herman, there's a lot of verbiage that if you've watched all of our episodes on Big Brother 23 and now here, there's power in numbers. When I talked about my season on All Stars, I was putting out fires when there was distrust inside of the numbers because I knew my power was in the number of people that I was working with. And you hear Herman talk and he says a lot of the same things. A lot of the stuff. It's so early. We have the numbers. Why would we implode? Why would we target each other? We can run the house and then we can do it later on. That's the that's really the verbiage when somebody's like saying that to the DR, that you know they get what's going on in the house. They get the game of how to succeed and get yourself to that next phase where then all of a sudden it's a bloodbath and you got to get through it. There's a different way to get through that. But he understands this early phase of the game. I love him, man. He's great.
He's great. The only thing that could hurt him is he's so good that people say there's no way we can beat this guy.
But I think other people see that about, like, they don't view him as that. The same way you were that, but nobody viewed you as that until it was way too late. It was like, yeah, it's done. You're all in the jury house talking about it and figured it out. I genuinely feel Herman is similar in that sense because everybody, like, they were talking about Josh and how big of a, like, threat Josh was. And, you know, we could skip ahead. The veto happens and then now there needs to be a replacement. Because Moose is a beast and flew through it, but Josh was super close. And then it's like, Herman is not being talked about like that, I don't think. Like, Marty views Josh like that. People trust Herman. You know, Summer, Tanisha, they love Herman. They feel very comfortable with him. It's like, I don't know, man. I don't know that people are going to view him as that threat until it's late.
If they wait too long, you're right.
Here's the funny thing is, this is how well I know you. Right when I saw the cast and I read it all, I was like, Derek's picking Herman. And I knew you would. And I was like, I'm not going to pick the same person as you twice in a row, even though I picked Xavier before you on a stream, just in case everybody knows that I did it first.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I genuinely feel like our best chance to win the game is 100% Herman.
I mean, I'm trying to go 2 for 2. Unfortunately, you won't more than likely. But, wow. You know, 2 for
hey,
2 for
here's me. Here's the thing. I don't agree with you because what we saw this week with Josh is that there could be strategy. There could be physicality. There could be, you know, whatever the third thing is that I don't know what I'm trying to say. And then there's the big relationship social. And Josh just showed this week, that easy to get me out because no. I am loved, genuinely loved. Not just he's great for my game.
No, like, they were upset.
Tanisha cried immediately when he got put up as a replacement. People love him.
Yeah.
So Jess, I do stand, don't count me out, bro.
I'm not counting you out yet. Long game. Anything can happen. There was one conversation because, as you just mentioned, Moose wins the veto. By the way, when he goes up to Kyle right after the veto goes check, I was like, that's awesome.
That was great.
Kyle got punked like 4 times in this.
You know who he reminds me of?
It was a bad week, man.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
He's 23 years old. I was 23, but I wasn't this way. He reminds me so much of somebody else that was 23 in the house.
Zach.
And where Zach was like, remember when we had him as HOH in week whatever it was, and it was like with the wind. We were like, nominate Christina Nicole. He's like, yes, that give a huge speech. Bro, let me, you guys want to see my speech?
He had the robe on. He wore the HOH robe like the whole week.
The whole time. That, he's Kyle. He's a young guy that's like just, he doesn't really, he's just all over the place.
That power went to his head.
As I watched it, I was like, this is Zach. Like, it's easy to be like, that's Devin, because Devin was chaotic, but Devin wasn't chaotic in the same way where like you could say whatever Devin and it would kind of like make him flip flop. Like, Kyle is like Zach, where Zach was like, You would just poke at Zach constantly to get him to do shit. And he was like, yeah, Derek, tell me I'm going to do this now.
Yeah. He won me a lot of money. He won me a lot of money. I hate it.
Don't bring that up, dude. Don't bring that up to me.
A lot of money.
Because it made me the second highest, the third place money on the season that I got second place.
Yeah. Shout out Donnie.
Shout out to the beer.
Before we talk, so Josh gets nominated,
yeah,
and this conversation happens, which is, I think, a very important conversation because it kind of changes the trajectory of the house, which is a conversation where Kyle brings in Marty. I forgot who else was in the room. I want to say Gino.
Gino.
And he basically is trying to pull what Devin was trying to do on our season, where he needs the numbers.
Her mom was in the room.
He's kind of like, hey, listen, man, you weren't in this original alliance, but, you know.
There was an alliance.
We're going to replace you with Moose. You know, we're going to have you come in, replace Moose, and you're going to be the new guy in it. And he's like, wait, I thought we were already in kind of something. You weren't telling me guys about this. Like,
mistake.
It really, I know Kyle thought it was a good idea, and even, you know, the others were kind of just listening, but Kyle, you know, Marty sees it for what it is.
When
it's
you
like,
bring
wow,
it up,
they're working deals behind my back.
So I had to do something like this with Enzo, and I told Enzo right off the rip, huge alliance, Enzo, you're not in it. I'm in it, and I'm going to make sure all I do is chirp to them about how easily, like, I'll act like you're kind of like easy, dude. I can tell him what to do. He's going to do it, even though that's not what our relationship is. That's how I'm going to talk it up. You continue to talk up with other people how you don't love the relationship that I have with Nicole and Danny, because if we're ever on the block, I want you to be able to, like, weigh in on it and be like, yeah, let's get rid of Nicole or let's get rid of Danny over Cody. And for me, it was like, I just want to keep you safe, keep you off the block. But I told him that when nothing was blowing up. It blew up already. So he's like, you blew up the alliance by nominating Moose and now you want to bring me in? Like, it doesn't, it's just poor timing. It could have been a good move if he did it early. He would have had his loyalty forever, but he did it late. And now there's like distrust. It was just a poor gameplay.
Poor gameplay. Marty picks right up on it. You could tell he's like, he even says to him in that conversation, like, I got to think about this. Maybe I got to rethink my whole thing. Cause he's like, you guys are trying to sell me something, but that's not what it is. You know, like I can see that. I'm not dumb.
Well, it opened the door for somebody to do a great play.
You talk about Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go into that. Cause that's where I opened that door.
So Kevin starts to have this like epiphany of, I see what's happening here. I know that there's alliance. There's this big alliance. I know they're working and I'm not necessarily in it. I don't want to send home Josh this week. I'm not just going to go the easy route and send home Josh. I have a good relationship with Josh. I think I could work with Josh. Stephanie, I don't have a relationship with. And so he doesn't want to outright say what you said before. Like, if you hear what somebody says, you don't want to just stop it. So he doesn't want to go to Marty and just say, hey, we should flip the vote. I want Marty to come to this conclusion himself. And so he starts to drop plant seeds. He starts to plant seeds with Marty. And then he's just watering him a little bit, watering him a little bit, watering him a little bit. And then he comes up with the plan of, Marty, why were you saved in a week with Kyle as the HOH if you're supposed to be so close with him? It's because America loves you. America loves you and they want to keep you. And they don't want you to go.
We didn't even hit on that. That's a good point. Marty won the, what do they call that?
So there was a power this week where there was one house guest that was saved for the week. And in the beginning of the week, Kyle was like, oh, perfect. It's Marty. I was never targeting Marty this week. So great. Everybody that I wanted to target is still up for grabs.
But yeah, eviction protection insurance.
Yes, the eviction protection insurance.
Could have came up with a better name, but we got it.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful.
But Kevin takes that and it does a brilliant job of putting the doubt in Marty's ear about, hey, it may be because you're a fan favorite or maybe because you're a fan favorite and everybody is terrified that you're about to go home on this week of HOH when, because they're seeing what you were not. And he used that and that was the last straw that he needed. And he goes, I just feel like we're being played by a kid and you're like very older and you're kind of in the outs. I'm the awkward one. I'm on the outs. Like, he's playing us with this big group. We should flip it on him. And then he didn't say we should flip it on, but Marty ends up saying it. I was like, we should vote the other way. Mm-hmm. And he never told Marty what to do, but Marty came to the conclusion himself, which was essentially Kevin's idea. It was brilliant.
Quickly, I agree with what everyone said. And he even said, you know, Marty, if you want to do this, I'll do it for you, even though he's wanted to do that the whole time.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the eviction protection insurance? You know, obviously it's a good thing to know that America, or in this case, Canada, loves you and they're rooting for you, but now put on your competitor hat.
If I'm in there, I'm like, week three, this dude got the Canada voted him to protect him. Mm-hmm. My head goes, he's winning America's favorite. I'm not allowing him to win America's favorite in the game. He's going home.
He's got to go. I agree.
I don't know why Big Brother Canada did that. They put a target on his back, like, unnecessarily.
It should be something where you, even in America, you should get the award. You should get the power, but it should be like a secretly given power. And then if you don't need to use it, nobody ever knows you had it.
I agree with you 100. Like Paul. Like when Paul went back, he was like, you can nominate me. I have this power. I don't need to say it until you finally nominate me.
And then when Cody nominated him, he was like, oh, boom.
You can't nominate me. I'm safe. And now I lose that power.
Yeah, at that point, it's go home or use the power. So obviously you're going to use the power. But he wasn't going to be nominated this week. So it kind of was like unnecessary. And it just exposes him to a game that's social internally, but also social externally, mm-hmm. with America and Canada, and how they could play into the game later if there's newer things that are voted on. So that was interesting.
There was a conversation between Summer, Tanisha, and Helena. Right. Because now the vote is starting to swing the opposite way and they want to keep Josh. So essentially what Summer and Tanisha, what Kyle did to Marty, Summer and Tanisha did to Helena, and they exposed the Savage Seven to her.
That's right.
Now, if you're Helena, do you take it almost a similar way? I don't think she picked up on it in the same way as Marty, because I thought Helena was going to be the floater. We heard this week how she kind of is verbalizing, like, I know I'm the floater. I'm playing the middle. I'm under the radar. Nobody views me as anything. And that's what I want. So I like that she's aware of it, which makes me respect her more, and she has more of a game sense than I thought maybe she would have. So I love that. But for her, do you think she's picking up on, like, okay, now, like, same way Marty, okay, they're using me and trying to pull me in with information. Do I fully trust them? Or is it like, okay, I trust them. They told me. Do you think that's how she took it?
I think it's one of those things where she's not the best player, and she just wants to be accepted. She just wants to be talked to. So she might have some apprehension about it, but she's not going to look too deep into it. I don't think she's a huge historian of the game and understands like that. But I think it's like the fact that they're opening up to her, she might be looking at it like, oh, this is an olive branch. Maybe they didn't want me initially, but now they're kind of coming around, and maybe this is something going forward, because she was divulging information to them as well.
Right.
Well, if you remember before they even started. Yeah. She was like, I don't know if I should do this.
I don't know if I should do this. Tanisha was like, fine, I'll do it first. Boom. I was like, wait, that's not how that should go.
She was like, yeah, okay. Well, all right. There we go. There we are then. One more conversation, and then I think we can get into it. As far as we already talked about the veto, and we talked about the eviction. But the conversation between Beth and Kevin, we had talked about that before we started recording. What'd you think of that? Because Kevin, you know, Beth calls him out in week two, which we mentioned already in this podcast. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin's in the room. Beth comes in. Now Betty comes in. She's trying to have a conversation with him. And he's like, listen, I might be who you think I am.
He came in guns blazing.
Guns blazing. But I felt like he thought, I'm going to just say this, and I know there's some fans of Kevin out there. I don't think he's as good as the game as he thinks he is.
Oh, 100%.
And you know, his shtick is already up on like 90% of the house. They're like, we get it, Kevin. We know who you are. Yeah, we know what you're doing. We know you're a schemer. But he's like, hey, listen, I might be who you think I am, but
I might not.
I need you to keep pretending like you hate me. And she's like, I do hate you.
I don't. Like, I've told you this multiple times. I hate you. She said in the bathroom in the second week, I don't like you. I don't trust you. She literally laid out how he described the game he wanted to play before. To us in the DR, she literally laid that out to him,
dude,
in the bathroom.
Verbatim.
In week two. And I was like, yeah, you're not doing a good job of playing.
And
that
Betty's
game
not even an astute player. So you don't think like
she's
the others,
having that conversation? Or do you think she just kept that to herself? Like,
right,
Kevin,
no,
the jig is
Summer,
up, buddy.
Summer, Tani, they all know.
Yeah.
But how about after she's like, I do hate you, he's like, she says some couple other things.
He goes,
like,
okay, well, then you're my target.
He goes, no, I'm coming after you then. And she's like, wait, you're coming. Like, why?
Even better. Why? But the whole thing was he goes, I want you to hate me. She goes, I do hate you. And he goes, okay, if you hate me, then I'm going to target you. She goes, you're going to target me. I was like, yes. What are we watching?
Yes, and she totally turned it.
He leaves the room. And I was like, what did I just watch? That was like so petty and so like, I was like, that was like a third grade level argument. You're going to come after me. I hate you. Oh, you hate me? Well, I'm going to target you. Oh, you're going to target me? I can't believe you would say that to me. It's like, what do you want him to say? I was blown away.
The compare and contrasting of that conversation to the conversation where Herman and Josh, where it's like high level conversation, like really good chess match going on there, where they're, you know, given enough but not too much.
Yeah.
Then you got these two in the other room going, I hate you. Oh yeah, well I'm coming after you. All right, let's do it.
Game like, on.
It's week two, guys. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, week three at this point.
Dude, you've hit the nail on the head. There's the high-level conversations, and then there's the low-level conversations. And you see which players are having those ones, and you see which players are having the latter. Yeah,
they're in the back room. But Kevin, I think he thinks he's like a mastermind. He's not. He's kind of – I think he thinks he's getting the mastermind edit in the DR.
I think they're playing with him in there as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting it. I don't think it's going to work out well for him. Nobody's fooled by him. No. I think he's very obvious in what he's doing because he comes in and out of character, right? And so it's not something that he's owning entirely. And I think people are smart enough in there to pick up on it.
Yeah.
Into the eviction.
Yeah, eviction comes
because this was a blindside.
It was a blindside for a few
people. A couple people.
Not just
it was
Kyle.
A 9-2 vote.
Yeah.
So two people, which would have been Gino
and JC Lynn.
And JC Lynn, you have Stephanie and you have Josh on the block. There's a lot of people that are thinking Josh is going home, or at least that's what Kyle, JC Lynn, and Gino thought. And there's a quick conversation with himself, with Herman, where he's like, this guy's just trying to like, he's trying to like, you burned me already, bud. You're not going to run the house.
Yeah.
And he even says, this 23-year-old kid thinks he's running me. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Herman kind of gets the flip going. Marty gets the flip going.
Yep.
Kevin's got the flip going.
Yep.
So they're all kind of on the same page, even though they're all think they're doing it themselves. And yeah, so it's a blindside. Stephanie goes home 9-2. Gino, Kyle, JC Lynn are completely surprised.
Yep.
And we were never in that situation. But
we did that.
What a horrible feeling it must be to be like, think you're in the majority. And then instantly you're hit with the realization that you may not be as in tune with the game as you thought you were.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all knew that about Kyle. The person that I feel bad for is Gino, because I think Gino would get along with so many people, but he's hitched his wagon to Kyle.
Yes.
And that's going to be the downfall of Gino. Gino could do really well. He just seems like a nice guy. And I think Kyle is just a nut, and he's now partnered up with Kyle. He's got his showmance, which we saw JC Lynn and Gino kiss, so they're going to be a thing. And so he's now hitched to two people that, you know, Jason Lynn was on the block the prior week. Kyle just blew up everybody's game. Nobody trusts him. And he's the person that ultimately it's like, if we can't get Kyle, maybe we'll get Gino. That's what I feel like is going to happen to him.
It's interesting you see those three names because I completely agree with you. But then we have the HOH competition in the same episode. And as we alluded to earlier about Betty, she was like having some weird panic attack in there while she's competing.
Yeah.
And it does go down to the numbers, like you said. And he was only off by like a couple hundred seconds, like two or three hundred seconds.
That.
It was like 54 and
it was
53.
Like 60 seconds he was off by.
Yeah,
it was like 5,400 and he did 5,320 or 5,340.
Gino wins Gino the wins. HOH.
Dude, did you see JC Lynn? When the thing she was like this.
Yeah. I mean, she was probably going on the block. You know, she's probably going, and that's a thing. Like, it would have been a combination
that's
of.
True. That's why. Yeah, you're right.
Gino and JC Lynn or Kyle. And then, you know, if there's a renom, if the house is now unified, those three are the easy targets because they're on the outs. They didn't include them in the vote. So clearly they're expendable.
Yep.
And the fact that Gino wins, it completely changes the dynamic of the game because this mission or this plan to, you know, unify the house and go after the outsiders, Gino, JC Lynn, and Kyle. Well, now that's going on hold because Gino's in charge. He's HOH. So now that other side of the house, they have to protect themselves. It's all about self-preservation and making sure that you stay. So Gino's not going to put up JC Lynn. Zero chance.
Yep.
I still think, and we're not watching the feeds as much as we should be, but I, you know, so some of this has probably already been answered, but I don't know if Gino's going to put up Kyle as a sacrificial lamb because the house is going to tell him to.
I've had people kind of updating me on what he was doing. I haven't been updated now because the nominations have already happened, but I heard some whispers about who he was thinking about nominating, and it's not going that way.
Okay, so it's not going that way. So he's going to nominate two people. So that's where we end it. Real quickly, we're going to, if you want to stop right here, appreciate it. Appreciate you listening because now I want to know who the noms are.
I don't know who the noms are. I just know who they were saying. So if you want to cut out now, but I don't even want to say it because it could have changed. Because, Gino's got a lot on his plate right now. So
we'll have to look it up. Yeah. But incredible week to watch. Yeah. Not an incredible week for, complete other end of the spectrum as far as Marty's HOH, getting out your target, little blood on your hands. Everyone's happy with you. You go back into the shadows. And then you have the other end, which is Kyle's HOH, which is essentially what people are saying out there. It's one of the worst HOHs in Big Brother history. And they're putting him up there with, like, the Frenchie HOH, the Devin HOH. So that's some company to be in.
And you know what? There was a line that he said, I don't want to just, blah, blah, blah. I want to be involved in the greats. And I'm like, none of the greats ever say that when they win the third week HOH.
Yeah, no.
Anybody that says that is having their power trip happen. And that's what made me inkling to. He's on a power trip. He's going to have a rough week.
And that comes down to a lot of immaturity, right? Like age, being young. That's why you see a lot of people, even yourself, you've said it numerous times.
100%.
Your first time playing compared to your second time, different player.
Completely different.
Life experience happens.
Yep.
Maturity happens. You're in a different place.
Kyle got a message from John Party, winner. And he literally told him exactly how to play the HOH. And he played it completely opposite.
Gotcha, John. Where's my chicken sandwich?
I love John Party too, by the way.
Thanks for the frosty.
Gave great advice and goes, I just can't wait for this Wendy's. What did he say again? I can't even remember. It was John Party though. I remember it was John. Like that guy, you screwed the pooch.
You missed an opportunity there. No, it's good HOH for us. Not so much for Kyle. So far the season is living up to the expectation. It's been a great season. A lot of drama. A lot of strategy, too.
Yes,
a lot
absolutely.
Going on there. So we're getting a little bit of everything.
Absolutely.
There's definitely not just one person running the house. I do feel like with this Kyle blow up, it's kind of reset the game a little bit.
For sure.
So that
Jess
big
is kind of falling further into the shadows, maybe.
Yes. Yes. So I really feel at this point, it's anybody's game. We obviously have our favorites, but I would say almost everyone in the house, with the exception of a couple people, have a real shot at winning.
Yeah.
A real shot at winning, especially with this format where the HOH can't save their noms and stuff. The chances of someone pulling themselves off really high as the numbers dwindle. If that happens, it'll result in HOHs putting up their own alliance members again.
Yeah.
So it could get interesting. Any final words?
No, guys, we are, again, if you've made it to this point in the video, we thank you so much. We are going live Sunday, the 20th of March, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Join us on the Winner Circle YouTube.
Yeah, for audio, this is going to be out. And we're doing this right now, 12:30 on Saturday. Yeah. It'll be out for you guys within a couple hours.
And the video
audio
will probably be out Sunday morning so that they don't completely cannibalize each other.
Right. So if you're watching this on YouTube tonight, for you, Sunday, 9:30, we will be on audio tomorrow. Check it out. We'll be there. We want to say thank you. We're going to answer questions. We'll talk BB Can, but in general, this is more for you.
Yeah.
You want to come on there. If there's personal questions you want to ask us, you can ask us.
Yeah.
We do have some things planned. So you guys know we are going to do a BB Can versus BBUS episode. That's coming.
Wait.
We also are going to do a live with Stephanie Harlow, my co-host from Crime Weekly, to congratulate her on her win. We're going to try to get Tiffany on as well.
It's so hard to do that.
Yeah, I know. I already told you. I said, we got to give you your props. We got to do that. So we have a couple different episodes in store for you guys. We're just trying. It's tough when you have, four people that are on an episode to try to get all of us on one episode. So we'll see what we can do there. At minimum, we want to get Stephanie because she is the winner. And then we, like I said, we have an episode planned for BBUS, BB Can, where we're going to debate who would actually win if we ever combined seasons and played.
This is going to be good.
And we're going to bring some BB Can people on.
Yeah, we're not giving you our opinion only. Obviously, we're biased. But we're going to have a debate.
We're going to have a debate.
We're going to win.
Okay.
See you guys there.
Nothing else?
Nothing else, bro. Take us out.
All right, guys. We appreciate you joining us here on the Winner's Circle. We will see you next week.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to CheapCaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Owning a home is full of surprises. Some wonderful, some not so much. And when something breaks, it can feel like the whole day unravels. That's why HomeServe exists. For as little as $4.99 a month, you'll always have someone to call. A trusted professional ready to help, bringing peace of mind to 4.5 million homeowners nationwide. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.